Welcome to Do This, Not That, the podcast for marketers. You'll walk away from each episode with actionable tips you can test immediately. You'll hear from the best minds in marketing who will share tactics, quick wins, and pitfalls to avoid. We'll also dig into life, pop culture, and the chaos that is our everyday. I'm Jay Schwedelson. Let's do this, not that.
All right, I am so excited for this episode of Do This, Not That. We have an awesome guest. For real, we do. All right, so who's here? Let me tell you about our guest before we bring her on the stage and let her talk about herself. But Jen Spencer is here. I'm sure you know Jen, but if you don't, she is the CEO at SmartBug. What's SmartBug, you say? It is a full-service digital agency, and they help businesses get the most out of their full customer lifecycle. And they are HubSpot and Klaviyo elite partners and Google partners, all this stuff. But beyond that, they are a seven-time Inc. 500 5,000 company. Okay, they're a four-time Adweek 100 company, and twice they were named Partner of the Year at HubSpot. I mean, that's pretty wild. And I asked Jen to come on here because we're going to talk today about big words that I don't understand, but she does, which is going to be amazing. So Jen, welcome to Do This, Not That.
Oh, I'm so pumped to be here. Thanks for having me.
Amazing. Thank you. So before we get into the topic of the day, give everybody a rundown. How did Jen become Jen?
I guess my career progression story is very, very strange. I'm gonna give you all the Cliff's Notes version of this. Started my career as a high school English and theater arts teacher, and then transitioned into PR and marketing by way of nonprofit professional theater through community engagement, and got to work at a nonprofit where after 8 years I was then running sales and marketing for the organization. Then moved over into the B2B SaaS space and took a company through a nice acquisition, worked early stage startups, and got to know SmartBug. I'm the kind of person who, in my roles, I've never been able to separate marketing from sales. It's like my greatest strength and my greatest weakness at the same time. And I found this beautiful place for me at SmartBug Media, because I'm like, wow, I get to market and sell to marketers and salespeople, and now customer success professionals too. My job is to be on the forefront of what's happening in our market, in the industry, and make sure that we're constantly innovating and supporting our clients, especially as they're using platforms like HubSpot. And so I joined as VP of Sales and Marketing in 2017. I then became our Chief Revenue Officer later, and then President, and was part of a succession plan. And so I'm now CEO of this extraordinary organization. We've got almost 300 people and fully remote. And I love what I do every single day.
First of all, that story is amazing. I didn't know that full backstory. And in a lot of ways, it is super inspirational, because for the listeners out there, you could literally be in any walk of life right now, and here Jen is, CEO of this major agency, and that's not what her plan was when you were in college. That is, if someone would have told you when you were back in college, okay, you fast forward X number of years, you're going to be the CEO of this big agency, you'd be like, what?
If I go back to high school days, what I really wanted to do was I wanted to be the person who named the colors of nail polish, nail polish samples, or paint samples for the when you went into a Home Depot or a Lowe's. Who does that?
Wow, you had really big goals. That is amazing. You've surpassed naming pink colors. Yeah. So congratulations.
Yes. Thank you.
All right. So today I specifically want to talk about one word that I don't really understand that well, that's all in the marketing universe, and that is the word flywheel. I always hear people talking about, the flywheel needs to be part of your strategy and growth, and everyone needs a flywheel. And I have imposter syndrome, and I don't want to say, what's that mean? But internally, I'm like, what does that actually mean? And so you're like Captain Flywheel, I think. I don't know if you are, but that's when I think flywheel, I think Jen Spencer. So what is flywheel? Why is it important? Should we care?
Yeah. So I think the flywheel as a business concept has been around for a while, but it was at a HubSpot event. I think it was at Inbound, and Brian Halligan, the co-founder of HubSpot, was talking about looking at a business as if as it's a flywheel. And you think about the idea of a flywheel as it's this thing that's in motion, and you can get it to speed up when you apply force to it, and you slow it down when you apply friction. And if you think about your business as a flywheel, how does that change the way you think about your priorities and where you're putting energy, where you're applying force, and where you might be like consciously applying friction or unconsciously applying friction that's not serving you? And it especially made marketers think very differently about their funnels. And there was, you know, this idea that, like, wait a minute, we've been so focused on like a funnel, like someone's experience with our brand is like, they don't know who we are. They come into contact with us, and we kind of narrow them down until they become this, like, this customer. And then there they are. And then it's like this, you think about like an assembly line, kind of this machine. And we just keep like funneling down and getting new awareness and new customers. But then those little dots, those little things on like those little customers, like where do they go? Like what happens? But the truth is that those customers actually can't be used to apply more force to your flywheel, to generate more leads for you, generate more opportunities for you to expand revenue. And then you stop thinking about your business like a funnel, and you think about it instead like a flywheel, and think about, well, how could we... What can we be doing to like more actively engage the customers we have, or how do we delight customers we have, or how do we delight people in their experiences with us? And how does that continue to like fuel us? And it changes the way you think about allocation of your resources and where you're putting effort as a marketing team.
So give me a real like 10-foot level practical way, because in my business, we have a funnel. We got, you know, we know certain content is real top of the funnel content, and then people engage with it. They go further down the funnel. Oh, they want a demo. They want this. They want that. Mm-hmm. Further down the funnel. What is like a real practical way to say, okay, we're not doing funnel anymore. Now we do a flywheel because we are doing this. Yeah.
So, okay, I'll translate it in like services for us, right? So, we have a client right now who was previously a past multiple time client of ours doing some website development and design work. But we thought about how do we continue to engage the people who are our customers in a non-salesy way, right? But we are like continuing to like nurture those individuals with information about like modern day technologies, things that we're seeing across various tech stacks. And then we're also engaging with those individuals through social media, on LinkedIn. Like we're not just thinking about all of the tools, the resources we have at our disposal, and how do we find net new people? We're also thinking about how do we engage? What happens is that individual left her company and now is CMO at a new company and came in and said, hey, all of these other services, these like migrations, integrations, all these services I never needed from you before. I never used from you before. I had such a great experience with you and I know what you're capable of. And that person comes back in and says, all right, send me a contract. I'm in this organization and I want to move my stack from Marketo and Salesforce over to HubSpot. And I need this for paid media and I need this integrated into my plan. And so that's an example of like our flywheel in action, because that lead that did not come from any one of our like organic, like traditional, like a marketing motion. That came through having a really great experience with us, but also us investing in making sure that she's aware of other ways that we could support in a way that was really empowering.
But do you think then, I'm just trying to understand, like, so do you think that maybe it's having less people that are in your universe, meaning that that's a lot of handholding. That's a lot of personal attention. It feels like if you have a flywheel, you're really giving a lot of love to your everybody that's in like your database, whoever you're interacting with. Whereas a funnel, you're giving love to the people that are going further down the funnel. Mm-hmm. Is that part of it? That's kind of like taking a closer look and saying, we don't need to be casting as wide of a net as we have been.
I mean, definitely. And I think it all comes down to segmentation, right? So it's like, we know if you properly segment your audiences, when you're going to be more successful, right? Sending like a segmented email campaign with very specific messaging, very specific content to that audience than something where you're just trying to boil the ocean and you send out this blast to everybody. Like, we know that, we have that data, right? So very similarly, when you think about who you're investing in, right? It's investing in having really good segmentation. So having a CRM and marketing automation platform that's going to allow you to segment your audience, having the ability to track how people are engaging with your content today and what's resonating with them, and then continuing to feed them more of what like they're showing you. They're literally telling you through their actions that they're interested in. And then it's like, it's delighting them and doing really, really good work and then leveraging that and creating more content over that. That was kind of the next piece, was like, you do really great work. Do people know about it? And that's a way that you could use that content to kind of fuel your flywheel, to bring in like net new people. So the flywheel's not just about like returning customers, and it's not just about upsells and expansion revenue, although that's part of it. The other piece of it is like, if you invest in the success of like people who are really good customers for you, that will continue to propel your flywheel, continue to propel your business, both through their expansion of revenue, their introductions to other people, their ability to be a reference for you, and then also your ability to document the success that you have with that organization or that customer, and then use that for some of your other marketing opportunities too.
So I'm just curious, because to me, sometimes I feel like marketing automation is like the best and worst thing that, you know, a marketer has. You know, it's best because it's like this always on thing that, okay, at least we're doing something. But it's the worst because it's like pumping out just garbage. It's like, who even knows what's in our stream or whatever. Is a marketing automation stream like anti-flywheel because it's not really, you know, thinking about things the right way? Or is it exactly what you need in your flywheel?
I think it's exactly what you need, as long as it's configured properly, right? As long as you have the strategy. So it's having a like customer platform, both like marketing automation and smart CRM, that can help you be aware of what matters to all of the people in your database, that will help tell you, show you, like, this is where you should invest more time, and these are the types of messages you should be sending. And so it's that without marketing automation, actually, I don't know how you do this well. Like, right. It's hard for me to even imagine. It would be so labor intensive, because you're talking about something that's not scalable. Having the right tech stack allows you to provide hyper personalized white glove experiences at scale.
So what is, okay, I'm buying in, okay, I'm moving to a flywheel. I'm going to have a flywheel. What is like the low-hanging fruit, the pitfall to avoid? They're like, don't do this, because that will be, you'll fall off your flywheel.
I mean, I think don't try to use the same content across every stage of the customer lifecycle. So when you're thinking about a content that you're going to create, whether it's an email campaign, it's some kind of an asset, it's a web page, a video, what have you, we as marketers, we think about the audience, right? Like, okay, who is this going to, what is the action that we're hoping that they're going to take? But to look at it through a multifaceted way. So don't just say, I'm going to take this one thing and now I'm going to send this to my prospects and my customers and my partners. Like, it's not going to resonate. You're going to end up disengaging with that audience. So instead, think about what are some minor modifications we can make to this content, or how can we use like smart content, if that's available to you in a marketing automation platform like HubSpot, to send something once, but have slightly differentiated messaging, depending on if they're an existing customer of yours, they're a potential customer, or there may be a partner or some, or a past customer who might be referring you business.
That's a great way to look at it, and it's a great way to frame it. I feel good. I feel like I could have a flywheel now. It's happening. I want to ask you something about, you mentioned earlier that you guys are fully remote. I know this is like a 180, but I'm just curious about something. You got 300 people, you're fully remote. I'm fully remote also. How do you keep company culture? How do you keep everybody feeling connected to one another working remotely?
It's a very intentional exercise. It's an intentional activity. And what I learned when I came to SmartBug is that we literally, like, we almost like overcorrect, right? And this is because we've been remote from the beginning. So when COVID hit and people were kind of forced to go into remote work, it was already kind of normal to us. So one thing is understanding who people are, like as actual individual, like and what they care about. And so we have a number of different affinity groups that folks are a part of. So that's a big part of it. We do a lot of like cameras on, a lot of there's silliness, right? Like we don't take ourselves all too seriously within our Slack groups. But then we do invest in getting the team together once a year in person. So it's called SmartBugapalooza, and we bring everyone together, and it's like a day of like work and like team bonding and programming and training, and then like a day of fun, and we have our awards. And so that honestly, like that, like kind of fuels a lot of the culture for like throughout the year, because that's where so many memories are made. And we also do encourage our team, now that we've got like such a large team, we start to have these pockets in different cities where we've got a group of SmartBugs who are living there, and we encourage them to get together for IRLs, and we fund it, you know. So we actually say, okay, yeah, like $50 per person, you can do two a month and get together with people, because we still believe in that human connection, like the one-on-one connection. So The work stuff is easy. The work stuff is all system, process, checklists, time tracking, results monitoring. Like, you know, if people are doing what they're supposed to be doing, right? Because like work's either getting done and you're rocking it for clients, or else, you know, no, like we're failing. So we try to connect the humans. So you've got people who are like, I'm in the Theater Bugs channel. You can probably see like in my background, if I move my head or something, I've got a bunch of playbills. So there's a group of smart bugs who love theater, and we just dish about theater and share our experiences together. And there's probably other conversations like that happening in other channels that I'm not a part of, like video games, that I don't belong in the channel, but it, for someone else, like that's their Theater Bugs channel. So we do things like that. I think that really helps.
Oh my God, I love that. What a culture. SmartBugapalooza. I mean, yeah. Let's go. I love it. Now that's amazing. It makes me just like warms my heart. It feels good to hear all of that. So let's move into the last segment of this thing called Since You Didn't Ask. When we talk about things that are totally ridiculous, I'm going to ask you ridiculous questions. So you are a theater person, and I'm wondering if you're a horrible person like I'm a horrible person, but probably not. Have you ever walked out of a show, like been like, this sucks, I'm out of here?
I have never walked out of a live theater performance ever. I haven't. I mean, I guess the only thing, not where like I was a patron, right? I have worked in the theater where like, I was like, I have seen this show now 12 times. Like there's a point where you're like, I'm going to go and do something. I'm going to watch the first half because I like it the best. But no, otherwise, no, I'm way too empathetic. I'm way too empathetic to do that, because I know firsthand how much effort, energy, like how much it takes to like put something on stage, and those people are there, and I have the utmost respect for like the craft and what people are doing. And so no, I There's been times I've wanted to leave. I can't do it.
You're a good person. Wait a minute. Now I'm all in on theater. I got so many theater questions. So I saw Mean Girls recently. That was great.
Thanks. Yeah.
I'm curious, how often, so I'm watching the show and I know nothing. I'm an idiot. Okay. And they seem like they got it all down. They seem like they don't miss a beat. They're walking in the right place. They're saying the right things, but I don't know what I'm looking at. How often do the people on stage screw up and us, the audience, have no idea they just missed a line or they didn't walk the right place? Like, does that happen like every time?
Probably. I mean, I used to love, when I worked for Arizona Theater Company, our stage manager show notes. So like at the end of the show, like the next morning, you would read what, you know, anything that was like a strange, like anomaly, any kind of mistake or whatever happened. And there's rarely, I don't think I ever remember there being show notes that were like, everything went as planned.
Right.
I don't think I ever remember that. So there's always kind of something. I mean, that's kind of the beauty of it, right? And like you just sort of have no idea, and it's all just kind of happening in real time.
I have so many random questions. All right. You said earlier, now I have another random question. You said earlier you were an English teacher, which is like so scary to me because I have the worst grammar ever. Are you internally at your company, are you like the grammar police? Like if somebody sends you an email and they use like a semicolon, which by the way, I have no idea how to use, or whatever, do you write back and be like, excuse me, you don't know what you're doing? Is that not you?
So it's no longer me. I want to own up. I want to own up to a couple of things. One is when I was a teacher, I was so obsessed with grammar, and I was able to inspire this group of students that created a grammar awareness club. And they made shirts. It was called GAC. And
it was so cool, by the way.
Oh, so cool, right? And the back of the shirt, it says, if you're not with us, you're probably out using good instead of well. And so it's like, but yeah,
what is that? I don't know what to do with that information.
I don't know.
I've been following you for a long time now.
I know, the Grammar Awareness Club. Yeah, so that was fun. And then my husband has unlovingly called me like Correcty Correctorson. So but I'm telling you, it's like the second I became CEO, it's like I lost that part of my brain. I'm like, I send communications, text messages, Slacks with you know, the wrong, you know, not non-capitalization. No, I'm definitely not. We have an editing team at SmartBug. So there are people at SmartBug that are, they are far more serious. They are the true like correcty correctors. But you know what does make me crazy? It's like there's certain things like sneak peek. So when I see it in email, like subject lines, and it makes me absolutely insane, where it's like sneak peek. And it's like they write it as P-E-A-K instead of P-E-E-K.
We don't like that.
I mean,
that.
I am, if one of my teams, if I see someone do that, like I won't publicly, shame them, but I will send a side message with like an emoji that's like eyeballs and then a mountain and say like, I think that is amazing.
That is amazing. I'm so scared to ever email you again. Oh my God.
No. I'm telling you, it's like, it's like disintegrated. It's like, it's crazy. Like what happens when you're put in charge of everything. It's all of a sudden you're like, brain can only handle so many things.
Well, you are clearly wild in high school. We got that out of today. No, this has been amazing. Thank you for putting up with all of my ridiculous questions. I feel really good about a flywheel. This is awesome. How does everybody get involved with your world? Where do they find you? What are we going to do?
Yeah. So smartbugmedia.com is our website. You can subscribe to content, blogs, our newsletters, all of the kind of great tools and templates that we're creating. So I would go there. And then I'm pretty active on LinkedIn. So just hit me up on LinkedIn, Jen Spencer, and let me know that you heard me on the Do This Not That podcast. So I have context.
Amazing. And yeah, Jen is a great follow on LinkedIn. We're going to put all this in the show notes as well. Thank you everyone for being here. And Jen, thank you for being here.
Oh, it's been awesome. Thanks so much.
You did it. You made it to the end. Nice. But the party's not over. Subscribe to make sure you get the latest episode each week for more actionable tips and a little chaos from today's top marketers. And hook us up with a 5-star review if this wasn't the worst podcast of all time.
Lastly, if you want access to the best virtual marketing events that are also 100% free, visit guruevents.com so you can hear from the world's top marketers like Damon John, Martha Stewart, and me. Guruevents.com. Check it out.